You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs program For Land's Sake. I'm your host, Bill Kite. And today our guest is Trina Ortega, Coal Basin Ranch and Trails Manager. Welcome, Trina.
Hi, Bill. Thank you for having me today.
We're going to have a fun time here talking about new mountain bike trails and opportunities. So before we do get into that, though, and talk about Coal Basin, tell everyone listening some interesting facts about yourself, and such as that you were editor-in-chief of the Mountain Flyer and that you're a poet. And I, of course, know that because we exchange poetry at times. So help us out a little bit on a little bit more about you.
Sure thing, Bill. Despite what my current title may reflect, I am a career journalist. As you mentioned, I am the former editor-in-chief at Mountain Flyer, a mountain bike magazine that was started in Gunnison and Crested Butte, Colorado. And I freelanced and worked there for about 10 years. In addition, I am the founding editor of the Sopris Sun and also worked at the Valley Journal when it shut down, which led to the founding of the Sopris Sun.
Right.
As an outdoor enthusiast, I also have worked in experiential and outdoor education, and some community members know I helped start the Roaring Fork Cycling Youth Mountain Bike Program here in the Valley, and have the experiential education and outdoor leadership goes back quite a ways, Bill, but that's also a strand and a passion that has led into my current work.
Well, let's go right into your current work and tell us what you're doing up at Coal Basin.
As your intro stated, I'm the ranch manager and the trails manager. I noted experiential and outdoor education and my love and passion for that. I especially love to share the outdoors with others, including underrepresented groups. I try to reach those communities as well, and love to share being in nature with them. I've worked for the Colorado Outward Bound School. I taught rock climbing way back in college. I worked at Roaring Fork Outdoor Volunteers for a while and have been a longtime volunteer for Roaring Fork Mountain Bike Association doing trail work and other volunteer efforts that have been in the outdoors, such as water sampling for Roaring Fork Conservancy. And then, as I mentioned, I helped start Roaring Fork Cycling, which is getting more kids on bikes and providing opportunities on mountain bikes, all types of cycling. But right now the focus is mountain biking. And then 2 years ago, 2019, I participated in a volunteer project again with Roaring Fork Mountain Bike Association that was at Coal Basin, and specifically at this ranch, Coal Basin Ranch, and it was to spread native grass seed to help reseed the hillsides where they had built trails. And Coal Basin was a place I had not spent much time in, to be honest.
Right.
I had blasted by it on my way to Marble. I taught Outward Bound in Marble, so that area always had a special place in my heart. But I had always blasted by Coal Basin on my way to Marble. And the furthest I'd ever gone was the trailhead for Bradrich Creek on right. the return for the mountain bike ride that is known locally as Tall Pines, and really hadn't spent much time up there. And then I went and I did this volunteer project and just fell in love with the place. I fell in love with the story of the land, the history that has taken place there, and the efforts to restore the land, as well as reclaim it, officially reclaim it back when, after Mid-Continent Resources was there. And so I fell in love with the area and yeah, just sort of became an advocate for what was going on there.
How did you get this opportunity to do what you're doing now?
I was, because of my job at Mountain Flyer magazine, I was very involved with the mountain bike industry and the cycling industry. And when the position of ranch manager came up, the foundation that is managing the property asked if I knew of anyone who might be interested, since I had these connections in the bike right. industry. And I shared, I read the description, and I shared it with a person that it came to mind. And I just kept thinking, man, that sounds like a fun job. That sounds amazing. And I know the ranch, and I love the ranch, and I love the story of restoration up there. And then I shared it with a second person. And I was secretly hoping that those people who were very qualified would not apply and get the job, because then I changed my mind and I thought, why am I not applying? You know, I never have managed a huge piece of property, but I know about the project, and I would be a great ambassador, and I would love the work. And so I applied and went through the interview process and got the job.
Well, it seems to fit you very well, knowing your passion for the outdoors. And I was involved with some of the reclamation work up at the mines in Coal Basin. I went up to the old actual Coal Basin town site and worked with, I can't remember his name now, from the Mineland Reclamation folks. That's a hard place to get some things to grow. It really is. And so I'd like to ask sort of the question of, how does mountain biking help reclaim the land?
Well, in addition to the restoration efforts, such as the project I was involved with, spreading native grass seeds, there have been more than 1,000 trees planted in the last 2.5 to 3 years, Bill.
Super.
And willows, elderberry, serviceberry, twinberry, all kinds of different shrubs replant or planted. And so there's that piece of restoration that many people think of right away when they think of a reclamation or a restoration project. The trails is a special and unique part of this project and the Coal Basin Ranch philosophy, in that you can use the trail as a way to bench cut into the steep hillsides, and these tenuous hillsides, whether it's geologically, like you mentioned, Coal Basin is very steep geologically and fragile.
Yes.
But there are also the man-made, the shooty piles that are up there. And if you can bench cut into those, you can help guide erosion or prevent some of the sloughing off. And that is the idea, to put some of design those mountain bikes trails strategically to help prevent that, like the hillsides from sloughing off. And
right.
Stop that erosion, stop the debris flow into creek drainages and so forth. And I think too, Bill, when I think about mountain bike trails and being outdoors, and this could be, you could be also hiking. The ranch is also open to foot traffic.
Okay.
But I think about getting people outdoors in nature, feeling raindrops on their cheeks, touching the grasses, getting sweaty, and just being out there under the shade of a Douglas fir or a spruce tree, smelling that sweet smell of the trunk and the bark. That to me is also helping create advocates for stewardship and stewardship of the land. So that is a chunk of the restoration process as well in my mind, or the restoration journey in my mind. That is part of it, a very important part.
You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs program for Land's Sake. Today, our guest is Trina Ortega. I'm interested, of course, in your still active life as a writer. And once a writer, always a writer, I say. How is what you learned in journalism, you're always learning, how is that helping your work, and what role is writing, and besides the poetry, playing or will play in the future in your life?
Well, it is a contrast, right? From journalism to outdoor ranch and trails manager, dirt bag, so to speak. I agree with you about the once a writer, always a writer, Bill. And I have been inspired to write poetry as I spend more days up there in nature every day, day in, day out. In terms of my journalism career, I loved being a reporter because I loved meeting people and hearing their stories, interviewing them, and finding out more about where they came from, what makes them tick, what they're passionate about. It was always an honor to tell someone's story, and I took that very seriously. I think sharing those stories is the next step, and it helps connect us as humans to know you're not alone if you're struggling through something or if you're experiencing something that's exciting or something that's challenging. I think it's important to know that other people are out there, that you're not alone.
Sure.
I think now I feel like my job is to tell the story of this landscape, the trauma it's been through, its history, and also of its healing and the role that we humans play in that, or that we can play in that if we choose to do so.
It does have a sordid history for sure, and that's beautiful country in there. As far as I'm concerned, it's that whole Huntsman's Ridge mm-hmm. above, and the view that you have, and so it is. It's the setting is absolutely perfect, isn't it?
It is. It is. I don't get tired of it. When I go up, I don't want to leave. At the end of the day, I've been working long days to help get the ranch open this summer. It opened in July officially. But every time I go up, I just get reset, no matter how my day has started. If I'm stressed or worried about something, I go up and I just instantly am reset. Like, okay, I'm grounded. This is where I'm supposed to be. And it's really special. I feel really lucky to be out there.
Are there any plans to do any interpretive signs about the past history at all? Or have you done that already?
We have a kiosk at the trailhead at the parking lot that does have information about the history. We do aim to do some additional interpretive signage. One goal, Bill, is the ranch itself, I didn't mention this yet, it is family friendly, and we have about 5 miles of trail so far, and there is an area where that is obviously it's a big pump track area around this pond system, and it is intended for families. It's intended for all ages, I should say, and all levels, but it is particularly suited to families, and we hope to educate younger riders as well, smaller, younger riders, and so hope to have some interpretive signs for them too, beyond just, this is the tree you're looking at, but also talk about the history. And it's been fun to hear some kids out there, you know, what they've learned so far. I've overheard once or twice, like, yeah, we're on an old coal mine. And, you know, just right. They may have little gaps of missing information, but something's sinking in there, you know, and it's really special to be able to witness that.
So you're still involved in experiential education then?
I am, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are there any plans for expanding the current trails? And then also, what part does the Forest Service play here? Because there are trails close by that intersect your trails, correct?
Yes, there are. So the private property is 221 acres, and the Forest Service holds an easement on Forest Road 307 or Coal Basin Trail 1953, which some of our valley neighbors have been on foot, horse, and bike. So the Forest Service does hold the easement that goes through the property on that trail. And I should also mention, Bill, that Pitkin County holds the easement on our trails that we built, the single track system that we built on the private property. It's the way we're able to allow the public on to the property to recreate at no cost. We do hope to look toward additional trails, whether it's loops within loops that already exist, or work, you know, carry on conversations with the Forest Service on the adjacent land in the White River National Forest to see if we can support their goals while also still providing access to the various users. I think this summer is largely about testing this unique model of a private landowner allowing free access to the public on these recreational trails, purpose-built for mountain biking. So testing the concept, essentially, making sure we have it dialed, making sure that our partners are satisfied, that we are satisfied, that we're respecting traditional uses as well, such as the horseback riding that is used or is allowed there, and cattle ranching as well. So hopefully getting through this summer, working out any kinks, and then taking the conversation from there and seeing what else our partners would like to see.
Have there been any conflicts with horseback riding and mountain biking in that area that you know of?
Not that I know of. Certainly nothing related to the ranch. On the ranch's single track system, horses are not allowed. Horses are allowed on Forest Road 307, and none that have been brought to my attention. I know it is a concern. It's always a concern on any trail systems that allow horseback riding and mountain biking. It's always a concern. And we hope to be able to educate riders of all ages about trail etiquette. And, you know, this is not a place to go and track, you know, log your best Strava time or fastest Strava time without regard to other trail users. It's more of a place to enjoy the outdoors and reflect on your place in history.
And to stay on the trails.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you for mentioning that, Bill. That is important. The access to the land for the public is on the trails only. So
right.
That is important.
When I worked for the Forest Service, one of my goals there was to try to connect the Dexter Park area and the old wagon road together and try to come up with a loop trail. And yet there was one inholding, private inholding there, which prevented going up the old railroad grade. And I don't know if a good way around that could be constructed or not, but is there still some hope maybe that the Forest Service could become a partner and extend that system for both pedestrians and mountain bikes?
We would hope so, although the conversation has not gone there yet. Again, I think this summer has been largely about proving that this can work and we can be responsible neighbors and have responsible recreation on this private land, and maybe that will earn us some points toward opening that door. Coal Basin Trail does go around and connect to Dexter Park, that old railroad grade, which I think is, you know, the whole area steeps with this history.
It does, for
even
sure.
Even beyond the 1800s, right, Bill? Even further back to the indigenous Ute or Nooch,
right.
And it's, again, I'm I believe so strongly in getting people outdoors so that they can experience that history and experience nature, that I think it would help, you know, that access helps.
It does, and there's a lot of open areas up there, a lot of space for people to recreate in all different kinds of ways. Expanding the trails in is still possible because you've got 5 miles now, and after this summer, you'll be looking at possible other trails to put in.
Yeah, and again, it is 220 acres of private land surrounded by White River National Forest. It's steep country, so not every corner of the property can be developed, of course, and we don't want that. We also want to, you know, be mindful of any wildlife habitat and wildlife pattern, travel patterns. But we do hope that we can expand the trail system. I think for a lot of our valley locals who really enjoy long, arduous rides, I think our trail system and the recommended loop is entertaining enough.
Right.
But we're talking about a different class of athlete here in the valley, and we would love to be able to add to our trail system so that it's worth the drive, say, for someone from Newcastle or Aspen. We'd love to have more of those mountain bikers and hikers and families coming from those further out places. It's a unique area, and, you know, I think for a family driving from Aspen, we envision that the dad is hanging with the kids in the lower part around the pump track, and the mom is going out for a longer ride, maybe a couple of hours. And to do that, we'll need to add to our system unless you're willing to lap it a couple of times.
Right. Well, I'll volunteer to help negotiate with the Forest Service on trying to do some work in there, because I think it has some real potential.
Well, thanks, Bill. Yeah, and I would love to at some point hear more of your adventure stories of that area, what you've been part of.
Well, I can imagine, knowing Gary Tannenbaum like I do as the head of the Pitkin County Open Space and Trails, his surprise when he was approached about doing this. Because I know they're usually thinking about people wanting something in exchange for rights away and that sort of thing. But this was straight across the board, I imagine, quite a surprise to him.
I think so, Bill. I wasn't involved at that time. Lee Bowers was contracted to lead the effort, and I know he was in a lot of the public meetings and involved with meeting with Pitkin County and the commissioners and Gary's team. But I did have the privilege to host Gary and the Pitkin County Open Space and Trails team up on the ranch, and we went for a hike. And it was, everyone loved it, and it was met favorably. And, you know, Gary mentioned something like, what do you mean? We don't have to pay for the trails. You're going to provide it for free. You're going to build the trails. You're going to maintain them. Hey, it's a win-win situation. And not only that, maybe this can be a model for other private landowners. Show them that it works. Show them how it works. And maybe we can help provide more trail systems for the citizens.
Sounds like there's quite a future involved in this project that could have a lot of effects across the board then.
Yeah, we hope so. And, you know, it's interesting to think about private land, and it's so novel in the West, where there is a lot of public land on which to recreate, and compared to the East Coast, where it's 95% private, and the concept of recreating on private land is is not foreign out in the East. And it's so hard to get your mind around the fact that you can go on these trails at no cost. And I think that's also, yeah, unique and a model for others. But we do as well, Bill, hope that it can be a site for local organizations, schools, outdoor education programs, to whether it's hold environmental science classes, learn about what took place in the past, history classes, and again, straight up outdoor education, mountain biking, hiking, etc. We hope that we can provide that place as well for local organizations.
Well, great. It's been really good talking with you, Trina. We appreciate you telling us about this new opportunity people have. What's this winter? What's the plans? Is it going to stay dormant over the winter? Or?
It will stay dormant over this winter. Okay. That's not to say that you know, we won't meet with community members to talk about future winter opportunities.
The
but
chances of recovery
right now,
right,
it will stay dormant.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for listening to KDNK. Our next Lands for Land's Sake show is on September 14th at 4:30. Until then, whatever you do for Mother Nature, do it for land's sake.